We're doing our last lesson today on the church upon this rock, and I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to talk about blessed together and individually, blessed together and individually, Acts chapter 2, and I'll be in verse 41, Acts 2, 41. It says that then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the church is going now. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were together had all and all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. We're going to talk about being blessed together and being blessed individually. Let's pray. Lord, now it's time for us to hear your word. We pray the Spirit would speak, Lord. We need the Holy Spirit, Father. We need your wisdom. We need to see about the church and about standing alone and about how the church is a blessing to us. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you would just take the whole part, every part of this service, every part of the preaching, and you would tie it together, and make me an instrument for you, Father, and make all of us hear what you want us to hear, Father. May it not be just another service, just hearing the word, just sitting there, but may you really do a work in our hearts. Help us to see. Help us to really realize there's something for us tonight in the word, Lord. We are needy, Father, to see things clearly. There's a lot of bad doctrine. There's a lot of even heresy coming into Christianity, Father. We need right thinking and right truth and to grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that we would have that spirit of truth here and a spirit of wisdom upon us as a church, Lord. Please help us. It's by your spirit, not by might nor by power. So please give us that help in Jesus' name. Amen. In this verses, we see the church gets started, and there's a bunch of good things that come upon all the people in the church. And we've been. I won't spend a ton of time on it, but corporately, as a group, being part of the church brings a bunch of good things upon you, and blesses a bunch of things. And it's kind of like you're in somebody's yard, and their yard is raining money. You're just in the right place, and it's a good thing to be there, and you're glad to be a part of that. The church is a blessed place, and they, as they were together, it says in verse 44, and all that believed were together. And so, you see all that word "all" there. We'll see it again in another passage in a sec. But as they're together, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and a breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Because that fear is in this particular verse, a great fear of God, a reverence of God. In other words, all of them together thought of God as who he really was. Together, not some people did here and there, but something came upon the whole church. Something just came upon them individually. And that's biblical. So often with that, God brings in this group thing with the church. And so great fear fell upon all the churches. And then they all saw miracles. It says, many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, verse 43. So they all saw miracles together and saw God doing a work. And next, they shared and met each other's needs, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So somebody who didn't have a house, or somebody didn't have some medical care, or somebody didn't have some food, other people who had extra stuff sold and gave it to them, and they all had their needs met. You said, well, the only people blessed there were the people who were able to get something. No, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So they're all blessed. And they're all blessed. And so that happened to all of them. And they're all blessed being part of the church. They were all together and shared everything and had all things common. And that's where the church shared those things. And it's not communism. It's because communism is forced. This is people willingly give their things. And they did that. And then they had gladness. And verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So they're all one and they have gladness. It was a happy church. They were just happier people. And they, why? Because they were together blessed by God. They were together, had the hand of God working in their church. They were together seeing the Lord moving. God was moving into all their lives and had that. And then they're praising God, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. So all together, they were having all these blessings corporately as they had that. Then chapter 4. I want to go forward to chapter 4. First of all, they corporately, we're going to see here in chapter 4, we saw in chapter 2, they had great fear. They saw miracles. They shared and met each other's needs. They had gladness and they had one heart and they praised God. So it was a blessed group together. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were, look at the next word, say it with me, ready? All filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Everybody at that church, that prayer meeting, was filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost together, and I want to say this, you hang around a bunch of people who have a bunch of perfume on, pretty soon people can smell the perfume on you. I want to tell you, when you go to God's house and God's house is blessed, you're blessed. You go away with a glow. And something happens to you. And you might drag in there and be, oh man, I'm dead. But you come into church, and when the hand of God is upon a church, and we need much more of this, I'll tell you, when the hand of God is on church, you get the blessing. You get the fullness of the Spirit. You get the power. You get the blessing. It comes upon all of them. In other words, we're together, united as one body, and so we get the blessing together. It's kind of like hold a group of people and have them hold hands and shock one of them. They all get shocked in a bad way. When we're all united holding together and God brings a blessing, it goes through all of us. That's part of being part of a church. God's blessing comes upon all the church, and you get blessed as God blesses the church. And then they shared and met their needs again, verse 32. And says, any of them that had things which he possessed, none of them had his own, and they had all things common. They had all things common, it says. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. They all had their needs met. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. This is in a local church context. And I think one of the things that's supposed to happen is in a church, whatever the one person's need is, God has blessed another person to meet that need. As it all comes to the church, whoever has needs is taken care of. And that's why one of the things we do as a church is we begin to meet the needs of people, starting with the people of Open Door. If there's not enough money to help somebody in Open Door, then we're certainly not going to help somebody outside of Open Door. Now, we do help people outside of Open Door, and we help our own people. During this recession, the church had to really, really give a lot to people. We had to help a lot of people with a lot of bills and help them with their necessities and things like that. Why? Because somebody else is blessed. Because God says, this is my local church, my distribution unit. And by the way, I want you to understand that. Understand that's one reason your tithe doesn't go to a parachurch organization. You might say, but it's a good thing and it's feeding children and handing out Bibles in Africa. Great, praise the Lord. But that's not what your tithe is for. God's tithe always has, and consistently throughout the Old and New Testament, gone to God's house, the local church. And so your tithe goes there because that's the way God's tool to reach the world. We studied that last week, is the local church. God's tool for feeding people, it goes to the local church. It says they laid it down at the apostles' feet, verse 35. They laid them down, they sold the things, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Again, as we said last week, the local church is God's tool for doing God's work, and that's what God uses, is the local church. And that's why, and that's how it goes through it. And so that's God's pattern. So again, they all had their needs met. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. They are also all of one soul. Verse 32, and the multitude then that believed were of one heart and one soul. They had the same mind. They were with people of like-minded faith. And then verse 33, really one of the greatest phrases of them all, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them, say it with me, all. Great grace, the grace of God that comes upon you, which is God's favor. God's saying, I'm pleased, I'm blessing you. God's grace was upon all the people in the church. And you see that, that's the way God worked. He did that. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus walks in the midst of the church. Where two or more are gathered, I'm in the midst of them. I'm he that walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. So I want you to understand that there is a great blessing that comes upon you through the church when the church is blessed by God. And that's why it's so important that each one of us is praying for the church. You might say, man, I got to worry about myself. I'm praying for myself. Understand, part of praying for yourself is praying for the church. Because God's blessing comes upon the whole church, and we all get power. We all get grace. We all get blessings. Things are just different for all of us when God's hand's upon the open door. And you can almost feel it. In most cases, most of us are struggling a lot more when God's hand is not an open door. And that's just the way it is. And so that's why, as a part of a body, listen, your whole body, when you get a flu, it's not just your stomach. Your whole body's hurting. It's all connected. Everything's connected in your body. And it's not separated. It's not, well, here's this part of my body isn't connected to this part. And so the Bible says when one part of the church hurts, the other part hurts also. When one is blessed, they're all blessed. And so we understand that we are one body in Christ as a local church. So that's why we care for one another. That's why we pray for one another, because we're all united and God's blessing comes upon us corporately. And we see that. And so that's why as a devil right now, I've had three preachers not connected at all that I've talked to in the last 2 months who've all told me, Satan knows he has a short time. He's fighting furiously right now. And why that's happening right now, we need to pray like never before. We need to pray that God uses us, that God blesses us, that God protects us. And get that in your vernacular, us. Because a church is blessed, and the individuals in the church, the Holy Spirit fell upon them all, and great grace is upon them all. We are blessed corporately, group, all of us together, because God's hand is upon this church, and God's blessing us and protecting us, and we can see that, how God is working in that. And that's why the devil tries so hard to divide churches, to cause contention in churches, to divide the church. Why? Because the hand of God comes across it, because now you've got three different parts of the church instead of one body. And so great grace was upon them all. The power of God was upon them all. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all had gladness. They all had one heart. They were all, great fear fell upon them all. We see all these things. And so first thing I want to say is there are special blessings that come corporately to a church. You are blessed just because you are a part of a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. You're blessed because you're part of a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. That brings a blessing of God upon you. And that's why we need desperately to have God's power and blessing, not just for me and not just for you. For people who come in here, once a month and are struggling, they're full of addictions, or they're weak, or they're just brokenhearted, and they come in that service, and they sit down here, and nobody knows their burdens, and nobody knows their heartaches, but God's blessing is upon the church, and they get ministered to. There is often people that just come in the door who sometimes we don't know what's going on in their lives. And we try to keep up and we try to pray for each other. But sometimes people are private, and sometimes they haven't been around for a while. And sometimes they've been in some situations in the last couple months. And nobody knows what's going on, and nobody knows what they faced yesterday. And you know what? Most of us don't know what the other people in your row, what happened to them this week. And what might have happened yesterday to them. And so we want God's hand upon open door, because the great grace and the great blessings go upon the whole church. It falls upon all of us. It all falls upon every one of us. We need God's blessing. You need to be praying for God's hand, because it falls corporately upon all of us. Now, having said that, I want you to understand, we're all blessed together. We all hurt together. That's biblical. We see that. And we are corporately tied together. 1 Corinthians 12, we can read it. We've read it many times throughout this series. And if one member suffer, they all suffer with it. I mean, we've studied these things and looked at them. But I want to say, so, you want to be part of a good church. Now, can you imagine being in the New Testament times, and you're part of the church of Thessalonica, and if that church doesn't do well, you're stuck. If you're part of the church in Corinth and you have disasters in there, if you're part of the Thyatira church, it had big messes in it, or God forbid the Laodicea church, that's your church. There's no other church in town. Can you imagine how you'd begin to pray for your church? I think it's almost like the reason people don't work very hard in their troubled marriages to stay together. Why? Because divorce and remarriage is easy. It seems easy. Okay? The process in America makes it too easy. And if this doesn't work, I'll just get remarried like it's a car. Why? Because they just figure there's another one. Don't figure that way. God baptized you in a body. I am convinced that most people should stay in church, their church, for most of their spiritual life. I just think that's the way it's supposed to be. I am not saying there's not a time to leave a church. There is. But it is kicking and screaming, and after years and decades, and God will not let you stay, or the church goes into absolute heresy, or something like that. The pastor is disqualified for being a pastor. But I just think that a church needs to be a body of believers, a family that goes through ups and downs together, and struggles together, and goes through things together and makes it. There is no other relationship we believe in like we believe the church. Most people don't believe the family in hard times and down times and ups and downs should leave their family. Most people don't believe they should leave the country. But we do with our churches. One bad experience, one bad Sunday, one bad... Listen, the church needs you to be not just an observer, but a participant. And corporately caring, and carrying the load together. However, I want to say that, having to understand that and believe that, and we've taught it, that's clear in the Bible here, you are still an individual that will reap for your own actions. Don't you understand that? The church is blessed together, and hard things happen together, and we suffer together. We all have that extra bump up and down. We all have those extra blessings, but you're still an individual. You're still an individual, though, that will sow and reap for what you do. One doesn't exclude the other. Let's say you're a Christian like this. Going to a godly church will take you up here. Okay? And you're a Christian like this. A godly church might take you up here. Or you might be a Christian who's up here, and you go to church, and it just takes you a little bit down even. It'll affect you, but you're still an individual. You can follow the people in many situations in the Bible who were standing right and doing things. But I want to say this. One man said it this way. You cannot determine the presence of my joy, but you can determine the level of it. You cannot determine the presence of my joy, but you can determine the level of it. For example, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. Now, if our children don't walk in truth, we have joy still. We have greater joy when our spiritual children are serving God and our disciples are serving God. And you as an individual still sow and reap. You can't say, well, I go to good church and I don't pray, but I go to good church, so I'm fine. No. You still need to be spiritual. You still need to bring God's blessing. Far too many people thought, well, I got a spiritual family, so I don't really need to be spiritual on my own. No, you need to be spiritual on your own. You're just blessed to be in a good family. Okay? You're just blessed to have that. But don't rely on that as your spirituality. And so we see that. let's go back. We just read in Acts 4. You first of all, you reap your own actions, first of all, for bad. Acts chapter 4, we see this. Great grace was upon them all in verse 33. Neither had any among them that lacked. They brought everything, verse 35, and laid at the apostles' feet. And distribution is made to every man. They're blessed, blessed church. Church is doing great. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. In this story, apparently they promised God, Lord, we're going to give you this much of this. And when you make a vow, God requires it of you. And they, let's say they sold it for $100,000. And they say, God, we will give you $80,000 if you sell it, or whatever the number was. If you help us to sell this, they sold it for $80,000, and they thought, that's $80,000. You know what I could do with that money? So they brought in $20,000 and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And Peter knew it. God spoke to him, and Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained in your hand, what is not your own power after it was sold? Was it not in thine own power? Thou hast conceived this in thine, why hast thou conceived this in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias died right there in church. Then his wife came in. They carried him out, got him ready for the burial. She walks in. Peter says, hey, do you guys sell your, how much you sell your house for? She says, oh, why is he asking this? Da, 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 da. And we sold it for $20,000. You've agreed with your husband to do that. She dies. That is immediately after the blessing upon that church. That same church, these people lied to God, it says, and died in church. Because they lied to God. That's the same church. Even though they're an amazing church, can I tell you this? People are called, we call them free moral agents. What that means is you have your own free will. Nobody can be spiritual for you. You will say yes and no to Jesus. You can put a human in the best atmosphere and they can still fall. Ask Adam and Eve. They were in the presence of God with no sin, and they fell. You don't have a guarantee. You can still do wrong, and they, even though they were in a great church where God's grace is upon them all, they died in church, in that church, because they were still accountable for their actions. Don't rely because you're in a good church means you're going to be blessed. You still got to do right individually. You still got to be right, and you still reap what you sow individually. It's just you become part of a church, you get extra blessed because you're part of the right kind of church. And so individually, you're still accountable. Let me take you to 3 John. Here is John writing, and he's saying, man, you guys are great, and I have no greater joy than to see you're staying faithful and walking in truth. You see in verse 3, it says, this is 3 John. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even if thou walkest in truth. We're not exactly sure what church Gaius was in. We don't understand exactly what church. I don't think it's clear enough to say for sure. But John's writing says, hey, you're my spiritual children. I discipled you, and the church is doing good, and your soul is doing good. And these people are serving God. And in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward in their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. pretty good church and good things are happening. But wait, look at verse 9. I wrote in the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. This is the Apostle John. This is the guy who leaned on Jesus' breast. This is the guy who writes scripture. Okay? Talk about authority. A guy who was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he writes to this church and says, hey, I'm going to come and I want you guys to do this and God bless you in this. And Diotrephes said, who says, loves to be in charge. You guys can't, John, we're not going to listen to John and John can't come here. Because why? His authority was challenged. Notice that. In a good church where good people were, there was a very bad guy. In the church of Jerusalem, you had people who died in church because they loved God or because they lied to God. They lied to God and died in church. And you had this church, a man forbidding and forbid the Apostle John from influencing the church. Understand, they're going to be bad people in a good church, even though the church is a blessed church. And you say, man, I went to this church, and there was some of that church that I know, they're still drinking, or they're, yeah, there's humans in every church. Now, I'm not excusing their sin. Sin's wicked. God will judge it. God will judge it. There are sinners in the church. Now, if the church, if it's everywhere in the church, now that's the case sometimes. It's an immoral church. It's bad. It's wickedness. It's the Corinthian church. There's bad things. But in any church, even a blessed church, even a godly church, even a spirit-filled church, listen, Church of Jerusalem, Pentecost just happened, and boom, people are dying in church because they're wicked. It's called humanity. Churches are full of humans. And you will still receive actions, and if you still do wrong, you think, I'm in a good church, and we have right doctrine, and I'm in the right kind of church, and our church, God blesses our church, doesn't mean that you're not still accountable for your individual actions. It just means you get a bonus. You get a bonus. And God may change you more. And God might speak to your heart and you might be transformed because you're in a powerful church and God speaks to you there and God's grace is there. All those things are awesome, but you still got to choose to do right individually. And you can still have bad things happen if you don't do the right thing. And you can see that. Look what John says, verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them, and casteth them out of the church. He says, listen, this is a bad guy. This is a bad guy in your church. He kicks people out of church. The brethren who are trying to help and do God's work, he kicks them out of church because he wants to be the one in charge and only authority, and he won't even let anybody else be a blessing. He won't even let me talk. So he says, I'm going to come deal with him. And so we see that you have that. And for bad, you are still accountable for your actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just saying to you, you're blessed corporately, but you're still an individual who still has to do the right things. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? In the Corinthian churches, people have bad doctrine. Do you know what's strange? If there was somebody in open door with bad doctrine, you know people would leave our church because there's somebody in the church who has bad doctrine. Listen, we're not dictators here. From this pulpit will be good doctrine. But if somebody walks in the door and goes to our church and they believe whatever, you know, if they start spreading heresy, then we'll deal with it. But I understand that happened in the Corinthian church. We won't let wolves come in here and start leading people astray because the Bible says not to do that. But if we have some different people with a few different doctrines, okay. It's part of being a church. We'll preach the truth and ask God to speak to our hearts and lead us into the truth. This church, though, had people who didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. Whoa! See, they're bad. And he says, yeah, but you have bad doctrine in your own church. So you can still have bad things there in a church. And then go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. For even when we were among you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You hear that, America? They won't work, they shouldn't eat. We shouldn't be supporting people so they can lay around eating Cheetos and watching TV all day. They're disabled. No, they're not. I mean, I've been dealing with this for 25 years around people who are on disability, people who are on welfare, and they're disabled. And advertising now to get people on food stamps. Advertising. They're advertising people to get them on food stamps. Now, please come on food stamps. Here's how you can get them. Tell your friends. It's insanity. If it don't work, you shouldn't eat. Remember the pit bull rule. If they're 10 feet from the door and a pit bull is 100 feet behind them and they can get inside that door, they're not disabled. Okay? They work really hard to be lazy. Okay? If they don't work, they shouldn't eat, the Bible says. Okay? Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them which are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, without quietness they work and eat their own bread. Okay, you see what he's saying there. You read this in the church. And they read it and said, okay, we're reading this verse. Can you imagine? These letters written in church. This is a guy who knows the church. He knows who he's talking about. And boy, the whoever gets up and reads it and says, for even there are among you, this we commanded you, that if any doesn't work, neither should we eat. And somebody sat up real stiffly. I always say, people say, are you talking to me? I'm not talking to you, but if the shoe fits, wear it, Cinderella. And if don't decide, are you talking about me? Look up and say, are you talking to me? And then he says, for there are some among you which are disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Gossiping and going around and just yakking and yakking and yakking. Somebody's going, it's somebody else probably, but that's the message. Hey, stop it. It's in your church. And so you see that. This is a good church, by the way. Thessalonian church is a pretty good church. Read 1 Thessalonians. Going through hardship, keep on going. You're okay. Comfort one another. And so you can see that you're still an individual. And if you do bad, you still get suffering for the bad, even though you're in a blessed church. Secondly, you get blessed for being good, even if your church isn't the greatest. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. It's very difficult. I want to say this. A lot more people will be lifted because they're in a good church than people will be brought down because they're above their church. You usually don't go above the level of your church. I will not say this. It's not a never. There are some Christians who exceed their church. They have such a walk with God. And that is usually, almost exclusively, just a really godly family, not an individual. Very difficult for one individual to be that godly where they go above their church. A godly family can do that because they have this unit that lifts each other up. They can help do that. But most families don't do that either. Most families need a church to lift them up. And it helps them. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Look at this. This isn't a good church here. In Pergamos, verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. That doctrine of Balaam is fornication and idolatry, sexual immorality and idolatry, and marrying unsaved people. In their church, they had those that had that doctrine of Balaam, that taught Balak to cause a stumbling block for the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. You also have those that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, it's not a good thing when Jesus says, you got idolaters, fornicators, and people who have doctrines I hate. in your church. That's not a good thing, Jesus, to be saying to you. But look in the church. Verse 13. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. You're in a tough spot. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where an Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Sounds like Jesus was pretty impressed with Antipas. A martyr who stood strong. And they didn't deny Christ either, even though they had that bad doctrine in there. You see one good guy, and then a group of people who didn't deny Christ, even though they had this bad doctrine and people with the bad doctrine in the church. And so they had that. So people did good and above and beyond what their church was. They did good. I want to just say that for a second. I want you to get that. Because we live in the victimhood, well, I just couldn't society. My mom, my daddy, my church, my pastor, my this or that, my Sunday school teacher. Listen, you're accountable to God. If your mommy, your daddy, your pastor, your church, your anything doesn't do right, you still have a God in heaven, and he always does right. Amen? You can still do right. You can be faithful to the end. And I want to say this. I hope that if America, if it did change and everything went terribly wrong and every Christian started denying Christ, I hope that I have a church full of people who would stay strong, though the rest of Christians didn't. But if my church didn't stay strong, I hope my family would. And I hope if they say there's only one holdout, just those Byrams, the last ones, I hope that be said. And if all of my family doesn't stand strong, I hope I stand strong. And God finds me standing there and saying, you know what? My family didn't stay strong. My church didn't stay strong. My area didn't stay strong. My brothers and sisters in Christ didn't stay strong. But Lord, you deserve me to stay strong because I love Jesus. Because I love Jesus. I hope that would be the case with me. I hope that's the case with you, where you're not sitting there saying, well, how can I do right? My mom, my husband, my wife, my this, my that. And my parents aren't this. And my parents, how about you just say, my Jesus is wonderful. I'm going to serve him. Instead of trying to find a human excuse for not serving Jesus. These people did good in a church with all kinds of problems. In Thyatira, this church is worse. later in this chapter. Verse 20. Yeah, that woman Jezebel, she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and eating sacrifice to an idol. That doesn't sound like a good thing to happen in church. I gave her space to repent. She didn't do it. I'll cast her into bed and then to commit fornication or in a great tribulation except to repent. I will kill her children to death. This is the middle of the church. Jesus talking to them. This sounds like they're in trouble. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and the hearts, and I'll give unto him everyone to ask according to his works. But I say unto you and the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan. So obviously there's people in this church who've known the depths of Satan. As they speak, I will put unto you no other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Do you see those people still straight in Thyatira? And this is a wacky church. I'm not going to teach you what everything is. It's a bad, bad, bad church. And yet there's people who didn't hold those doctrines. Why did they just leave? Because there's no other church in town. That's why. And so they had these doctrines that we would be shocked if we had to go to church like that. But you know what? There's people who didn't hold those doctrines, and they still believed right. There's people in Berea who search the scriptures daily to see if such things were so. So I'm saying to you, you are blessed and brought down corporately by your church, But however, you individually still will still reap and sow and still, listen, I want to say to you, if open door is struggling and we just lose our prayer cover and we're not walking with God and I'm struggling and we're all just barely making it, if you will get alone and spend some time with God and walk with God and seek God and have some personal revival and fast and walk with God, I'm going to tell you, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Matter of fact, he probably blessed us also because you did that. Amen? You can do that. And let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope that you come to church and say, I'm feeling great, but man, this church, God just blessing here. And you're brought even higher. Because individually we have that accountability. And look at Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse 4. Sardis, church should have some problems. Die in church. Look at verse end of verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Oh man, what a shame. Jesus saying to a church, you're dead. He says, you're in trouble. You better repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I'll come upon thee as a thief. Verse 4. But you have a few names in Sardis which are not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Isn't that good? Dead church and alive Christians. And God says, wow, they're going to walk with me in white, for they are worthy. See again, individual has an individual walk. So praise the Lord. You're part of a good church, you get blessed. Part of a bad church draws you down. However, you individually have a God you can go to directly, and you can always be blessed. And you can go to a good church, and God kill you in that good church because you're bad. Matter of fact, I believe this. I believe God's much more likely to kill you in a good church for being bad than kill you in a bad church. I think God works in good churches and does business with people. And people get right. As I put it, they get right or they get left. And so God works. And God does a work in the church. And so that's why one person comes to church and says, oh man, God spoke to me. That was awesome. Another person says, man, that preacher's preaching on me. They both got spoken to. God spoke to both of them. But one got blessed and one didn't. And so we want to be part of that. We understand there is a special blessing that came corporately upon the church. Great grace is upon them all. Great power is upon them all. All these different blessings that we saw. All these great fears upon them all. All those things happen corporately. However, you still are an individual. And just because you go to a church doesn't mean you're spiritual. You can be strong on your own. I want to say this. Make sure your family... Make sure you do not say, well, I take my kids to this church, so I'm going to have a spiritual family. Can I tell you? That's the parent's job. That's daddy's job. Your family won't turn out spiritual just because they go to Open Door or a good Bible preaching church. It will help tremendously. I think you can really secure your kids turning that wrong, putting them in the wrong church. However, your family should do right, regardless of what the church is doing. And your family should be strong, because there's no guarantee every kid is going to turn out from a certain church. It'll help. They get lifted. But that's all of our jobs and all of our family units. And so we see that. Blessed together and blessed individually. Both things are true. We see that in the Bible. All right, any questions about that? Right. What if someone dies in our church? What if you had five people fall dead in our church on Sunday morning? Would you be afraid to come back? What if all of a sudden, what happened in Open Door is people who weren't right with God started dying? Would you want to come to church here? That's what happened in the New Testament church. Just a thought there. Open casket Baptist church. And so, all right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us to do the right thing, Lord. Help us to love you so much. We're not even afraid of that because we do serve you because we love you, Father. I pray that we'd be right. I pray to be blessed. We need more blessing upon our ministry here, Father, because it's your ministry. Please put great grace upon this church. Help great fear to fall upon us all. Help great power of the Holy Spirit be upon us. Thank you how we can be blessed corporately. But Lord, help us be careful not to think because we're being blessed corporately, we're individually just fine, that each one of us gives an account of himself to God. And help us be careful to do the right thing individually, no matter what anybody around us is doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Don't forget tomorrow, 10 a.m.